This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to another Joy 94.9 podcast.
Perfect Princess Superstar, Joy 94.9, it's 20 minutes past 11. You're listening to Saturday Magazine with Carol Wilkinson and Jeff Hood.
And look, we're doing a journey today on Saturday Magazine. Second hour, we spend often talking to different people in the community about their life journeys. And today, we're speaking with Reverend Heather Crichton and her partner, Jan Miles. And look, for 10 or close to 10 years, Heather has been the pastor at the Metropolitan Community Church in Melbourne. And she and her partner, Jan Miles, have been, I guess, fairly active and pretty well known within the LGBTI community of Melbourne. But they're leaving Melbourne.
You make her sound like a spaghetti calling her a pastor.
What did I say? Pastor.
Pastor. It's all right. I was just thinking pastor. You know, she's sort of like the local MCC spaghetti or something like that.
Thank you, Jeff.
That's all right, Carol. I always like to pick you up on these things.
You do.
It adds a touch of comedy and fun to the day.
It does. And well, the fact is that they're leaving. They're travelling north, and we thought that we'd find out a little bit more about their life journeys before they actually journey up north and disappear on us. So welcome, Heather, and welcome, Jan.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And look, maybe can we start somewhere at a beginning, perhaps, in terms of your life journeys? When you were much younger and full of, you know, life and frivolity, what was your life like at that point in time?
That was only yesterday.
That was yesterday. I like that. That's good. Yeah. We're going to have a good half hour, aren't we?
Yeah, well, because Carol understands that. She likes to delude herself that she was young yesterday.
I do.
So do I. We're not that far apart in age, really.
Yes.
So how long have you been together now?
16 years.
Yeah, quite a while, isn't it? So where did you both grow up? You kind of from different parts of the world or different parts of the land?
Yeah, I come from Adelaide. All my family's in Adelaide initially. And then we came to Melbourne in 83 with my partner then.
Yep.
So, yeah, but I'm a middle child of about seven.
Oh, wow, that's quite a family.
I'm the only gay one in the family, though. The only one with colour.
That you know of, or?
Anyone with colour. A bit of rainbow in there, eh?
A bit of rainbow.
That's right.
Yeah.
And what about you, Heather?
I'm a New South Wales person. I grew up in Newcastle, around the Newcastle area, and all my family still live around that way, except for my children and grandchildren who are up in Queensland, which is another reason, of course, to go back.
Mm. Yeah.
Wonderful thing to go back to. Mm. I just need to retract a little bit of what you said before. I haven't been the pastor of MCC Melbourne since 2000. I was associate pastor for a couple of years.
Oh, okay.
And in 2003, I took over from Reverend John Fowler.
Ah, right.
That's right. I remember John Fowler being around.
Yeah. Yep. Mm. He's still around.
Yep.
And now Melbourne has a new pastor in Reverend Joy Etwell.
Yeah. Yes. And I believe that Joy is going to be coming on Saturday Magazine in a few weeks' time.
That'll be great.
So we'll catch up and see, get her story as well. So you actually met in Melbourne, did you?
No, we didn't.
We
met in good old Geelong.
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 Oh, wow. This sounds like an Ellen DeGeneres and Portia de Rossi story to me.
It's interesting because I actually came down to Geelong with my ex-partner because her family were in Geelong, and I'm very much family-orientated person, even though my family are very separate and gone everywhere around Australia. But my partner had been separated from her children, so I made the effort of bringing her down to be reunited with her children, her parents in Geelong, and then we broke up and we met. So, you know, the one purpose was met by bringing her together with her family, and another purpose was met when I met my beautiful Jan.
Now, you're talking about family and children and things like that. Obviously, before you met, you had very different lives as well at an earlier stage because both of you do have children.
Yes, we do.
Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. I had one biological son, Matthew, and I've always been gay, and my family's always known about it and never had, long as I lived happy and I was happy they were happy. I guess that's because they had seven others, so they were to get plenty of grandchildren.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
they didn't have a worry
that's
about
it. That's often the problem, isn't it?
It is. As long as you have the grandson. And my son was the first grandson in the family and mostly spoilt and loved deeply. My dad felt he had to protect me because there was no man in the family. I lived in a very small country town, and which is quite surprising that they were actually very supportive. Mm. And in Adelaide, and and you know, I've always known I was gay since I was 11, and never had the need to get married.
Mm.
Had my first relationship when I was very young. I won't say how old. Most unusual. I didn't wait till I was puberty before I had my first relationship. So and he's now 35, and brought up in a gay family, mm-hmm. lesbian family, and didn't make him gay, mm-hmm. which is nice.
Mm-hmm.
I thought
he's it was now contagious.
No, it's not quite in the genes. Oh. Yeah.
But even just, I thought you could just pick it up just by being around.
Oh,
like, doesn't... Yeah. No?
Not yet, no.
Oh.
Jeff likes to be a little bit ironic occasionally.
I've heard that theory put around that you could... No, I mean, that's a good example on the serious side. It's a good example of the sort of ridiculousness of the fears that a lot of people put around, isn't it? And
Yeah. And I only had one moment when my older sister, when I told the family that I was gay, and which was really positive across the board, no problem, and my older sister was really heartbroken because I wouldn't give her a cuddle just in case I upset her. And that was that awkwardness in the beginning. And she said, you know, why didn't you give me a cuddle? You know, and I thought, well, I didn't know, you know, yourself, you set up that boundary yourself.
Yeah.
You don't realise it. Like, you know, 5 minutes ago I was, it was okay. But now, do I or don't I? That question of do I or don't I?
What was that about, just fear of how she would perceive that or?
Well, she was a very dark person.
Yeah.
And I wasn't sure whether she would accept me or not.
Right.
Physically, giving her a cuddle and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Because you know what sibling rivalry is like, you know. I mean, she chased us around the bedroom with knives when she was young, and, you know. Well, we're country kids, you know. I mean, that sort of thing happens.
So why you didn't have an axe in that case?
To grind or otherwise.
Well, either.
But that was the only negative I had, was the fact that she felt that we were really close.
Yeah.
Even though I didn't feel we were really close, and my sister and I, and myself, my younger sister and I, lived in terror of her when we were kids.
Mm.
And she just liked knives, you know. She just liked knives.
Like toys, you know. Just go and play with the knives. Yeah, get out of my hair. Yeah.
Don't run.
And that was the only one. But that's that thing that you have. You sort of think, I'm different.
Mm. Yeah.
And you know, is it okay to act like this to them?
It's that internalized homophobia is so powerful, isn't it?
Yeah, and like I was only about 17 or 18 when I came out to them, and suffering. You know, my younger sister, my mum, has had three husbands, and she married when I was 12.
She's a glutton for punishment, isn't she?
She didn't know when to say no. Oh. It really doesn't.
Yeah.
And, of course, when she was 40, she had two other children by this other man. So I was 16 when the youngest one was born.
Right. So, and you were in the middle, so that's quite an age span in your family, isn't there?
Big age span, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, they're all over 40 now.
Yeah. Aren't we all?
But, yeah, exactly.
So, Heather, how many children do you have?
I have two. I have the pigeon pair, as they call them, the boy and the girl.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I knew when to stop. And I have two grandchildren. We have a beautiful grandson and a granddaughter.
Mm-hmm.
And they're on the Gold Coast, of course, so wanting to be near them is one of our wanting to move back. And of course, the beauty of the Gold Coast is where our hearts are, and that's why we want to
go. So you actually got married?
Yeah, I'm a very slow learner.
Okay.
A very, very slow learner. I did all the right things, of course. I actually married at 16, which was against, you know, having needing. Yeah, I was very young. Either I was trying to escape something or going to something else, not quite sure. But so I therefore had to go through the process of getting somebody's permission to get married, which was a very long process in itself because I was living with a foster family who couldn't give permission. So, but anyway, that worked out. And moved from Newcastle to Armidale in northern New South Wales, very country town. And I mean, you know, the gentleman I married was one of those very big, stable, like nothing could happen around him. So he was like a security. And the difficulty arose, of course, is those type of men often don't change.
Mm.
Yeah.
And when you're only 16, you've got a long way to change. So by the time I was 30, I had incredibly changed.
Was he very young as well?
No. Well, he's 5 years older than I was.
Right, okay. Yeah.
So he was mature young, and all that sort of stuff, and a country kid. We moved into the country where his parents lived, and I was nursing. We continued nursing, and we had our children, beautiful Scott and Natalie, and you know, like I think most of us, who not mind being not as aware as people like Jan are, attraction to women, attracted to girls, wanting to be in company of, and I can remember, you know, hunting out the high school captain and wanting to be around them, and all those little things. And when you look back, you realise, yeah, you know, you were really quite attracted to women, but having come from a background that I came from, there was a lot of other stuff happening in my life, so this sort of wasn't a priority. I needed security, I need someone to look after me, and this man certainly provided all that.
Yeah.
And it was only when I was in my 30s that I think in some ways you sort of... The marriage was very friendly. It was a very comfortable marriage, but it wasn't.
Something underneath that was telling you this is not quite right.
Well, it was like, you know,
right.
We're brother and sister. We had become so comfortable with each other. But it wasn't a marriage, it was like a brother and sister, and he was very aware of that as well. So when a woman came along and I was nursing and what I had started up in Armidale was a palliative care.
Right.
And so I would, being such a small town, the doctors would say, would you take so-and-so home? He wants to die at home. The family will help you. And I'd come involved in a family who the doctors had thought the gentleman would die in a few days. It was actually 6 weeks. Mm. And so in 6 weeks I got to know his daughter.
Mm.
And that's where it all started. We came to it, you know, and that's, you know, spending very long nights in, you know, in a home, talking to another woman and realising that, yeah, okay, this is the attraction that I had either pushed aside, didn't understand what it was, but this is what I wanted. And one thing about me is once you realise what you want, then you have to make the decision to do it, and that's what I did. And, you know, this is going back 30-odd years ago. This is going back to 1984. And it was still the time when, you know, lesbians... If they left their husbands and the children, you know, the law wasn't on your side and you had all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
So I made the decision to leave the marriage, which was hard enough in itself.
Sure.
But the other decision I made was very, very against a lot of what other people had thought I would make. And I actually decided to leave my children with their father, which was very, very difficult. And I received so much flak from that. But... You know, I looked at it this way. I was leaving the marriage. He wasn't. I was ending the marriage. He wasn't.
Mm.
The children were secure, very safe, very protected. They were in school. And I had no way. I didn't know where I was going, where I was living, had no job. And I didn't believe I had a right to remove those children from such a secure environment.
Yeah.
And that turned out to be the right decision?
Having been married to the man for 12 years, I knew exactly what his response would be. And after that shock and anger and everything else, it was free access to the children, holidays, you know, that sort of just the reversal of often what happens in most relationships.
Yeah.
You're listening to Saturday Magazine with Jeff Hood and Carol Wilkinson on Joy 94.9. And our guests are the Reverend Heather Crichton, who's the retiring pastor of the Metropolitan Community Church in Melbourne, and her partner Jan Miles. We've got a music track that you've chosen. Tell us about the first one that you've picked and whether it has particular significance to you.
Yes, and I apologise to those listeners who will now see our age. However, one of the things about music and songs is the words, and the words of this first one is about getting on with your life, you know, moving on and taking everything that you've got and just doing the best you can with what's been given to you.
Yeah, and it's The Seekers?
Yes, sorry about that.
That's
don't
right.
ever apologise.
Never
just played,
apologise.
We just played The Shadows.
Oh, that's okay. Well.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Joy 94.9, you're listening to Saturday Magazine with Carol and Jeff.
And our special guests for this second hour, Heather Crichton and her partner Jan Miles, and they've been talking a little bit about their early years, I guess, and growing up and recognising what your sexuality was. Now... When did you first get involved with the church? What was the whole thing? Have you always been religious, Heather?
I've always, when I spent my younger years, part of, as a childhood, I'd spent in a children's home or a girls' home, and it was an Anglican girls' home in Singleton, and so church was very active, you know, an Anglican church. So I've always been going to church. all my life, and certainly got married in the church, heterosexual marriage, had my children baptized, did all the right things, all that sort of stuff, and sort of always on the periphery of the church. You know, I did the usual Bible studies and Sunday school teacher and all that sort of stuff, but always remained on the periphery. And of course, the Anglican Church in those days weren't looking at female as being ministers, of course, and it never wasn't something crossed my mind. Nursing was always my profession, but I've always looked back and decided that. You know, God has a wonderful way of preparing us, and nursing is such a caring profession, and people go into nursing simply because that's, well, most people, I know anyway, go into nursing because that they have that compassion for people. And over Jen and I got together in 93, and believe it or not, and she keeps saying, she took me to a date to MCC Melbourne.
Oh, right.
Because Jen,
so, so she took you on a date to a church. That's interesting.
Where else do you go from Geelong?
Oh, there's not much to do in Geelong then.
No.
Okay.
No, it's not true. No. I've been in MCC since 1978. And not because that I'm religious at all, didn't go to church much when I was a child. We weren't forced to go to church and stuff like that. Just that my partner and I wanted to get married, and we decided that we'd go and have a look at MCC in Adelaide. And we had to be a member for a year before they'd let us marry in a holy union. And so we went there and we stayed there. And my son, who was hyperactive and three, ran up and down the church service, and nobody ever bothered to tell him to stop. But we found, and I've always found a home in MCC. Yeah. And
We should mention that the MCC is Metropolitan Community Church, and there are Metropolitan Community Churches around the world, not just in Melbourne or in Australia.
Absolutely. It's a universal fellowship, as it's called, and it is all around the world in countries you would never even consider that there would be a church, third world countries and churches where homosexuality is criminal and death is resulted. But there are people, gay and lesbian people from those cultures who have contacted MCC and have just asked for churches to be started. So we have started them, you know, through usually emails and contacts like that, and gradually somebody from our fellowship will go over and visit and slowly start the process. But yeah, and Melbourne's church has been happening for, I think it's 33 or 34 years now, so Melbourne's always had an active one. And yeah, so Jen, having been a part of MCC for so long, and we decided that spirituality is certainly a part of our faith journey, and Jen has a different spirituality than I have, and pick up on the fact that we are not religious, but we certainly have a spiritual base and a faith base, because people get really hung up on that, oh, you've got to be religious because you go to church, but it really makes it a negative thing. And
it also implies, the word religious to me implies more of an adherence to law. Doesn't it? Whereas spirituality is like more of our, the essence of our life and the whole, I mean, the word spirit meaning breath and life, it's kind of like that, that kind of sounds inspiring, whereas religious to me sounds really dowdy and like, oh, I've got to do this and I've got to do that, and the kind of, is that your sense?
Exactly.
Of it,
the conformities, and, you know, people who have grown up in faiths where there's so much restrictions and you know,
and so much power
sort of stuff. And I actually like your description of the spirit, because that's what God is. It's the spirit that breathes around us and through us and all that sort of stuff. And so that's our spiritual base. But MCC, of course, is such a welcoming place, and we went to the church, and at the time John was the pastor, and it was in Dorcas Street, huge, big, the United Church, very big and very cold. It took a long time to walk up that very long path. And we were greeted with absolutely open arms, you know. The church at that time was mainly men, and they just treated us so wonderfully, and we were their sisters, and you know, they protected us. And and we only stayed there for a couple of years, because then we started travelling. We decided we were going to travel around Australia, and that didn't work. But anyway, we got to the Gold Coast, and that's where we stayed. But over the years...
I love that. That didn't work.
Well, you know, sometimes you have these wonderful dreams. We both had this dream of, and we still have a place called Imagica, which we're going to build. In our, that's our
Imagica.
Yeah, that's our next part of our life together. Yeah. But yeah, we went to MCC, absolutely welcome. But we knew that we weren't staying, so we didn't sort of put our foundations down very deep. But we also knew that MCC was going to be continued part of our life. So we had our holy union 12 months later. Yes, we had to wait 12 months. Thank you, John. Even though we knew within 7 days of meeting each other that we were to be together for the rest of our life. We knew that. But, you know, this is the rules. You have to stick by the rules. Then we started our travels, went up to the Gold Coast, continued MCC in Brisbane. And then it was interesting with some visitors out from America, and sometimes you need someone to open the door, and someone said to us, you're called to ministry. Why are you not doing something about it?
Mm.
And we both looked at each other and, oh, okay. And then we started our study, and the difference is I completed mine, and Jan decided that wasn't her part mm-hmm. of her journey.
Yeah.
So I continued on through to ordination. Even though I'm, in many ways do the pastor and the pastoral work, the person in the background, which is your pastor's partner, my beautiful chair, there's so much more that gets done because there's you join together in a ministry.
Yeah. It's interesting you say that because I've always felt that, in the Church of England, the Catholic Church, well, not the Catholic Church, actually, the Methodist Church and so on, a Church of England minister is usually married. And the vicar's wife always is doing things. They're always involved in things. And I guess it sounds like you're saying the same thing happens.
Well, I mean, Catholic priests' partners often do things as well. It's just that they're never identified.
Well, the difference with the Catholic priest, of course, is, or even in the Anglican, they have people in that role. You know, they have people that do those things. But you're right. You know, the partners of someone in ministry have such an active and such an important role to play, because they're often a conduit between the pastor and the congregation too.
It'd be difficult for you to be with an atheist, really, wouldn't it?
It's interesting because there are some people, some pastors in MCC whose partners do not attend the church for one reason or another, but their partners are still extremely active. It would be difficult,
so
I guess.
In the community, I suppose. I went to MCC a few times when they were at Dorcas Street, and the thing that stood out to me immediately was the sense of community, more than a lot of other churches. Other churches, it's like you're walking into a performance and you sit in the seats and you're allocated seat and whatever, but the community sense. I imagine that even a partner who wasn't, a believer or who was an atheist or agnostic would still fit into that sense of community.
And we have a lot of people who come to MCC who don't identify as Christian, yet that community is very important. And Jan and I are teaching a polity, or the governance of the church, course at the moment. And that 40 years ago when the church started was MCC, Metropolitan Community Church. That was the reason why I put community in it.
Yeah.
And 40 years later, it's still what it is. You are the community for those people, and you're the family for those people.
We're talking to Reverend Heather Crichton and her partner Jan Miles on Saturday Magazine.
Joy everywhere in the world. Listen online. joy.org.au.
That was The Seekers, Joy 94.9, Saturday Magazine. We're talking with the Reverend Heather Crichton and her partner Jan Miles, and having just had a discussion with Carol that she would introduce as part of the segment. I've just done it.
I know.
Things like that happen. It's part of the spontaneity of radio. Tell us about that song. That has particular significance for you, doesn't it?
Yeah, we actually sang that.
Oh,
we
might help you turn them on, for goodness sake.
Yes. We actually had that song played at a Holy Union 15 years ago, because we just felt it was something that was, we had family and friends from the community there, and it was just something that seemed to, that's our message, that, love is something that's so based, that brings us all together.
Yep.
And we sang it, as everybody sang it. It was even Jan's son Matthew sang it. It was most unusual. Very tall, lanky young man he is. Mm. And it was just a feeling of a community and coming together.
Mm-hmm. Now, I guess, we've talked a lot about your journey so far and your religion and your religious beliefs, well, your spiritual beliefs, let's say. But you are moving on, and I'm a little bit interested to kind of get a bit of an idea why you've decided to move on, where you're going from here.
We've decided to, well, thanks to our elder, Ken Martin, Reverend Elder Ken Martin, to start a new associated ministry with MCC called Meant for All, M-E-N-T, for number four and all, which is looking at what we call this cluster. Australia, mm-hmm. New Zealand and the Pacific Rim is called a cluster, and the education that we can provide here for people in not just clergy training but also lay training, because I'm actually a member of the Lay Ministry Council of the UFMCC, which is one of the, I don't know what you call it.
It's a representative of the lay ministry. We often forget that a church is not made up of the clergy. Mm. In actual fact, it's made up of much more members of the laity.
Like a lay synod, that sort of thing, or it's a different kind of
UFMCC structure. Has a smaller hierarchical structure, yep. And under the elders who are our spiritual leaders, the lay ministry council sort of educates, trains, and also participates in the planning of where the fellowship is going. So right. they are the conduit to the administrators.
Mm. Mm. So we develop resources for the laity, so that there's, and that's what we're doing, not just the clergy, but with the laity as well.
Mm.
And part of that is just educating and being there and doing some what we call creating a life that matters. Is taking out of the religion into spirituality of creating a life of your passion and yourself,
mm.
and how to embrace that,
mm.
and listening to our stories, because I think that's something that we don't do enough as a gay community, is listening true. To everybody's stories.
Mm. And it's the great part of Saturday Magazine that I always enjoy are these kind of chats where we're talking people's stories and hearing about people's lives and coming out, and we get feedback from the community suggesting that they really like hearing people's stories. It's very important, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah. We don't have enough role models in the GLBTI community, really.
Yeah, and I think that's the reason that we were granted this ministry, is that we're skilled to do it, obviously, but also the fact that we can do it in no matter where we are, in Australia, Brisbane, or wherever. So that allows us, A, to move, and to leave Brisbane, because Heather's finished here now as the pastor. The sad thing is, we leave a lot of friends here, a lot of community here that we have developed into, but we get to go back to Brisbane and also go back and do some good stuff around the world. I mean, we had people from Papua New Guinea come to our training in May, and thinking about being clergy, and we have a lot of people who think that this is for them, but it may not be.
Yeah.
And so they come to find out a little bit more about MCC and the process.
Mm.
And then some, like me, don't decide to go on and become clergy. Mm. And because I don't suffer fools very easily, so that's not the job for me. And I realised very early on that it wasn't the job for me.
Yeah.
But you've also got family that you're going to be closer to, by the sound of things.
Yeah, we're going up. All my family's in Queensland. And we live at Whittlesea at the moment, and our house is on the market. And the first part of that is moving my parents from here back to Queensland, and they've gone to Bribie Island, and that allows us to sell the house and move up ourselves.
Mm. Good. Yeah. Heather, will you be engaging in any ministry, or you're retiring, that's it?
No, we were, Jan and I, doing Meant for All Together, and that is our ministry from now on.
Right.
Yeah, I think there comes a time and you have to realise that, you know, you've given all you can to a certain project, and certainly Jan and I gave all we could to MCC Melbourne over years that we were there.
Mm.
But they reckon in ministry you should move on every 7 years.
Yeah.
And it was time for us to go.
Yeah.
Mm. And my voice is about going, so Jan will have to take
that's
over.
Right. That's all right. We can hear the voice.
You can go and have a good cough.
Well, Heather's had the flu for a week. I had it when I was in Queensland. We went up a fortnight ago just to have a look at where we wanted to live.
That's not sounding good. That's not a good omen.
Yeah. So, yeah, we're actually really looking forward to it, and it allows us to reach out past Australia, New Zealand, Pacific Rim, which includes Pakistan, India. We have churches in Pakistan and India wanting to form. We have churches in Singapore and things like that, and they can't get access to training, and that's why start one here.
Mm.
I was just going to say, will you be still attending an MCC church in Queensland? Is there one near where you'll be living? Or?
We're probably going back to MCC Brisbane.
Yeah,
where we started in 94. We went there in 94. We'll always be in MCC and that. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you've certainly been a very prominent part and a very important part of the LGBTI community of Melbourne. So we congratulate you for that, and also thank you for that, because I think it's very important, the sort of stuff that you've done. Hopefully, we'll see you return to Melbourne at least for a visit now and then, and we wish you all the very, very best.
Thank you very much.
So, Heather Crichton and Jan Miles, that's a very pleasant journey that we've just been on, I think, Jeff.
Very pleasant indeed.
Yeah.
And we wish you well, and I hope your retirement goes through. Well, that doesn't sound
like retirement. It doesn't sound like retirement to me. Well,
but living in the sunshine will be, I guess, a bit more like retirement, won't it?
Not with my fair skin.
Oh, no.
Well, that's mine, true.
I grew up near where you're going, and it's just like, you know, I've got little splotches all on my skin everywhere. But Carol probably just says it's my personality coming out.
Yeah, spots.
Thank you very much for joining us on Saturday Magazine. And it's time for us to say farewell, Carol W.
It certainly is. And look, thanks to Angela Barella and James Vigas, Tim Wright, and of course, Heather and Jan, our guests.
This has been another Joy 94.9 podcast. Joy 94.9 is a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station committed to providing a voice for the diverse GLBTI communities. You can support our work by becoming a member or making a donation. For details, go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.